on now.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Serenity Church. Let's see. A couple of things I need to remind y'all of. Next week, we are going to have a party. All kinds of partying going on. Matthew's not in here. Where's he at? Matthew's in the bathroom. Hey, Matthew! Matthew will be ordained next week. Y'all know that I'm talking right now, right? And I understand that this is going to...
It was your idea.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. There he is. All right. Yes. Matthew is being ordained next week, and what a party that's going to be. Very, very cool. We spent some time together this week and found out that he is just the right offset that me and John need.
Please pray.
Yeah. And Stephen, my buddy Stephen Romo. My goodness, what would I do without him? He's relentless in South Dallas. Like John said last week, if there's a Saturday that he is in North Texas, or if he's in the United States, for the most part, he's going to try to be there. Very rarely ever misses serving there in South Dallas at Serenity Church Metro. So we will be ordaining him next Saturday night as lead pastor of Serenity Church Metro. Amen. Then after that, and John, you're going to love this word, we have a plethora of celebrants to get their yearly birthday chips. It's a big, I mean, how many?
Like eight.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's great.
I guess everybody decided after they got drunk on New Year's or whatever decided... You know, this is a new year. We're gonna change. So, yeah, absolutely makes sense. So we're gonna have a big old party next Saturday night. Please be here. Don't miss out on that. Everybody, get your bulletins. That's good. There's a basket going through. Throw your cash in it if you got any. So tonight we're gonna talk about bondage.
Woo! Yeah.
See, I knew it. I know you guys. Get your minds out of the gutter. Talking about bondage. Stop it. You know, when we first started the talking about a new freedom and a new happiness, that's the first thing that popped into my head is before I had freedom, before I had a new happiness, I was in bondage. I was in bondage, and so I started trying to figure out, where did that start? And John really hit on it last week, and he started talking about Adam and Eve and all that, and I was sitting back here when he started it. I'm like, that's in my notes, dude. I'm talking about that. And so, but, you know, he said, I didn't need any help from Adam with my sin. I can handle that all on my own, which is true, but really... Bondage started there, started in that garden. Genesis 2:15. Now, for this particular scripture, I'm going to read out of the NIV. Y'all know normally I use the New Century Version, but this particular scripture right here in the NIV has the word I'm looking for. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. There's that word, free. They were free. Before this, everything was free. There was no such thing as a new freedom. It was already all free. So what happened? Well, this is where the devil starts his lies. This is where the devil starts his lies. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the snake was most clever of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day the snake said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat from fruit from any tree in the garden?' 'No, that is not what he said. That was a lie.'" That's not what he said. Remember, he said that you could eat freely from any tree in the garden. The devil starts out with his lies. That's how he hooks us into the bondage. Verse 2, "The woman answered the snake, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God told us you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not even touch it, or you will die.' But the snake said to the woman, 'You will not die.'" That's a lie. So he traps us with our lie, with the lies. So we know how the rest of the story goes, right? She went ahead and ate it and gave some to stupid Adam. I understand, Adam. And sin and bondage was let loose in the world at that moment. Open your bulletins to the inside right-hand side and get ready to write your first fill in the blank. The devil is a liar. Come on. The devil is a liar.
Say it one more time.
The devil is a liar.
Thank you.
Say it back to me.
The devil is a liar.
Amen. So what lies do the devil tell you to keep you in bondage? This is the question for yourself right now. What lies do the devil tell you to keep you in bondage? For me, I have a pretty long list. See, the devil tells me I'm not smart enough. The devil tells me I'm not qualified. The devil tells me I'll never get it right. So why try? The devil tells me that you'll never be good enough. So why try? Here's an example. Where'd your minds go when I said the word bondage? I can always count on Grayson. What kind of lies? What kind of lies is the devil telling you to keep you down? What is that lie that devil is telling you to keep you in bondage? Romans 5:12-17. We're gonna read this, and it says, "Adam and Christ compared. Sin came into the world because of what one man did, and with sin came death. This is why everyone must die. Because everyone sinned. Sin was in the world before the law of Moses, but sin is not counted against us breaking a command when there is no law. But from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, everyone had to die, even those who had not sinned by breaking a command as Adam did. Adam was like the one who was coming in the future, but God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. Many people died because of the sin of that one man, but the grace from God was much bigger. Many people received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. After Adam sinned once, he was judged guilty. But the gift of God is different. God's free gift came after many sins, and it makes people right with God. One man sinned, and so death ruled all people because of that one man. But now those people who accept God's full grace and the great gift of being made right with him will surely have true life and rule through one man, Jesus Christ." Amen. So how do we get past these lies? Accept God's full grace and the gift of being made right through Jesus Christ. See, through Jesus Christ, I am good enough. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, I'm smart enough.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, I don't have to get it right because He'll make it right.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, I'm no longer in bondage. Give it to Jesus. Step three is turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Why is that so hard? Why is that so hard? When He can give you all this, when He can make you free, it's tough because we keep on wanting to take it back. We keep listening to those lies. We keep listening to those lies from the devil. Through Christ, we are free from bondage. So what about the bondage? What about the bondage that you don't even know that you're in? You're in bondage and you don't even know it sometimes. See, that when I wrote that down on paper, it reminded me of my old church background. See, I was okay with that. You know, I went to church. It wasn't doing much for me, but I was couldn't look at any other church. Everybody else was going to hell, and then I probably was too, but I didn't let them guys know it. But one example is it's instrumental music. So when John first came to me and said, we're going to start Serenity Church and we need to have a band, and, you know, I'd already progressed far enough, and it was through AA. I heard over and over, you have to keep an open mind. You have to keep an open mind, willingness and open-mindedness. And so I came in with an open mind. And so there was a lot of things that I was hearing that was contradicting what I was taught as a kid. And I was enjoying it. Things changed for me. Right? So John says, look, we're going to start Serenity Church and we need a praise band. Well, I'm a musician. And I'm like, I'm in. Let's do this thing, right? So the opening night of Serenity Church, I stood behind the stage and was petrified because I'd been told my entire life what I was about to do was a sin that I could go to hell for. Leading worship with a musical instrument. Bondage that I really didn't even know I was in. I stepped out on that stage and we played our first song and I experienced something I never had experienced before. People raising their hands, tears running down their face. I'd never experienced anything like that. And an emotional, spiritual experience from leading worship. It was probably the first time that had ever happened to me. Oh, I get them all the time now. A while ago, I almost can't stand still. I had to tell Jason a while ago, sorry about doing so many runs, man. I just got excited. But I didn't know I was in that kind of bondage. I was talking about this with my mom earlier this week. And she immediately said, what about raising our hands? Bondage and worship. Like, we're free, baby. Raise those hands. You know, she helped me with that because I had the same issue. It's like, But she told me, she goes, you know what I think of? What does a little child want when he wants to be picked up and held? Daddy, hold me. Changed everything. Freed me from that bondage. This reminds me of a funny story. Every Thanksgiving, they have area-wide singings in Cleburne, and it's all the churches, Church of Christ, come together, and they all sing together. And we brought somebody from the colony with us. And So we're there, and we all sing the first song, and this woman stands up, and my grandmother's head almost come off her shoulders. What in the world? And I was like, we don't do that here. But she didn't know that bondage. She had no idea of that bondage. So what about the bondage that you're free from, that you do not know that you're in? How do you recognize that? When do we recognize our bondage? You got to fill in a blank there. When the pain of the bondage becomes more than the fear of freedom and fear of new happiness. See, when I stepped out on that stage with that instrument, I was afraid, but the pain of not doing that was more than my fear. I wanted to experience some of those things that I'd heard about, an emotional, spiritual experience through worship. I'd never had that before, and I got it that night. Fear of freedom, fear of a new happiness. When I started writing this down, I started thinking about the Israelites and how they were afraid to go into the land of Canaan when God said, I've freed you. I have freed you. You've been in slavery for 400 years, and I brought you away from Pharaoh, and I split the Red Sea, and I've provided for you, and I've brought you to this land. And what happened? The Israelites were afraid of a new freedom and a new happiness. They were afraid to go get it. They were afraid to do what it takes to obtain it. Then Numbers 13 talks about how God said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, which I will give to the Israelites. Send one leader from each tribe. So Moses told his leaders to go check it out and come back and give me a report. So that's in verse, let's turn to Numbers 13. I don't know if I got that in there or not, but y'all can turn with me if you want to. Numbers 13, verse 17. And this is the marching orders that Moses gave them. Moses sent them to explore Canaan and said, go through southern Canaan, and then into the mountains. See what the land looks like. Are the people who live there strong or weak? Are they a few or many? What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What about the towns they live in? Are they open like camps, or do they have walls? What about the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees there? Try to bring back some fruit from that land. So that's what they did. They went over to check it out. And when they came back, they said, it's just like God had said. It's amazing. It's an amazing place. It's the place that God has given us. But, here it comes, the but. And I'd like to, for you to think tonight, this is going to sound funny. What is your butt? It just came to me. Kind of sounds funny. But what is your butt? See, their butt, that's funny, isn't it? Their butt starts in 31, verse 31. But the men who had gone with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And those men gave the Israelites a bad report about the land that they explored, saying, the land that we explored is too large to conquer. All the people we saw are very tall. In some translations, it will say they were giants. We saw the Nephilim, I hope I'm saying that right. I asked Jesse, and that's how he said to say it. Nephilim. We saw the Nephilim people. there. The Anakites come from the Nephilim people. Here's the, we felt like grasshoppers and we looked like grasshoppers to them. That was their butt. They found a way to be afraid, to go and get their freedom, to go obtain what God has already given them. See, they were afraid to go conquer those or jump through those hoops or get past the obstacles that was going to allow them to be free. Fear. Fear of a new freedom. Fear of a new happiness. See, their giants were too big. So what happened to them? Well, they remained in a desert for another 40 years, wandering around in a desert. What is that desert you're wandering around in? What is that desert? What is that desert that you're wandering around in? Because you're too afraid to go get it. You're too afraid to go obtain that freedom. See, Trina would say that they're working with a little bitty God. See, they didn't account that God had already brought them from slavery. They didn't account that God had already split the sea for them. They didn't account that God was going to provide everything they needed. That's one of the things that we don't do. We go, oh, this is too large for me to overtake. It is. Yes. It's too large for you to do it. It's too large for you to overcome it. Exactly. You are right. It is too large for you. It's not too large for him. Amen. Not too large for him. Your giant is not too big. Because we have a little bitty God. Right? Oh, okay. We don't have a little bitty God. We got a big old God. We're working with a big God. Trina's finally drilled that into my head. Oh, I'll be the first to admit. Like, oh, we're never going to get in that house. Oh, we're not good enough. Oh, I'm not smart enough. Oh, I'm not qualified. How many times have y'all heard me say I deal with inadequacy? I feel inadequate all the time. Man, it's a lie from the devil. Because by myself, yes. By ourselves, yes. We are inadequate. We are not smart enough. If we were smart, we wouldn't be in those meetings. I take that back. I really do take that back. We are smart because we are in there. We did some dumb things to get us there. There you go. I want you to fill out, there's a long blank. It says, what is that giant that you're afraid of, that you're afraid that is keeping you in bondage? What is that giant that's keeping you in bondage? Now, some of you still may be thinking about it. Some of you may have wrote something down right quick. Let's work on your fear. Who's going to say it out loud?
I.
Come on.
Fear in general. Just fear.
Yeah, fear. Across the board.
Never good enough.
Confrontation.
Confrontation.
Anger.
Amen.
I am not responsible enough to be trusted.
I don't know myself.
My
Right on.
I'm honest with myself.
Can't trust anybody but yourself.
So how do we overcome this bondage? John 8, 36. John 8, 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
That's how we overcome it. Through the Son, Jesus Christ. Turn it all over to Him. Every day I have to start over. Every day, you know, you start thinking, oh, I'm just not... I'm going to run this on my own. And you start feeling those lies. You start feeling those lies from the devil. And you go, well, I haven't turned that over to Him. I have to start the day over and turn it over to Him every time. I have to turn over all my fears. I have to turn over my insecurities, all my failures, all my thinking, all my actions, all my addictions, and that's a list. I have to turn my religion over to Him. See, I was pretty closed-minded before I got into recovery. Some of that thinking is still there sometimes. And I have to be open-minded or I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out. I'm going to remain in that bondage if I'm not open-minded. All those things that keep me in bondage, I have to turn it over to Him. You do this, you'll be amazed, I promise. You're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. So, tonight, come to the altar. A lot of you have already said it out loud. Come be anointed. Bow down. Ask God to take it from you. Ask God to do for you what you can't do for yourself. See, we've already admitted that we can't do these things by ourselves. We can't. We have to have God to do these things for us. Come forward, repent if you need to. See, repent just means turn away from. Repent means just, you're going this way, go the other way. Stop thinking the way we think. Get rid of those giants that keep you in bondage. And let Him do it. Let Him take Him. He can do it. Remember, who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Amen.